If you are involved in sales, you've had countless training sessions. You may even have a college degree to help you with your goals. You may have attended industry events and workshops to help you become a more effective salesperson. But our expert today, Dave Kell, has some thoughts for you, something to share that's bugging him. It's what he calls the one mistake that kills most sales. Dave, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jeff. Always a pleasure.
Well, Dave, what's bugging you? What's the one thing that you feel is a big mistake?
In the area of asking better questions, salespeople, number one, don't ask enough questions. Number two, don't ask the right kind of questions. Number three, just in general, don't appreciate and respect how important a question is in the sales process.
Asking questions is important. I ask you questions on our interviews. Hopefully they make sense, but they need to lead to something positive. So give us some pointers on how to take a bad question. Give us a couple examples and then how to make those good questions, because those in sales, definitely if they ask the wrong question, they're getting nowhere.
First of all, understand the ultimate power of a question. I mean, why is a question such a powerful tool? It's because of the ultimate power of the question. Nothing you have as a salesperson does what a question does, and that is this: when you ask a question, they think of the answer. Like, that sounds so simple. Incredibly profound, because what it means is the language in your question directs and shapes and invigorates the thought process of the other person. So you're really to a large degree controlling the process. So the language in the question is really, really important because the language dictates the thought process that follows. So the world is full of bad questions, good questions. When I'm working, by the way, this is one of my books. One of my books is called Question Your Way to Sales Success, just all on questions. But one of the things that we teach, a couple simple things that most salespeople overlook. Number one, there's two basic kinds of questions, open-ended and closed-ended. And an open-ended question asks for the customer to explain. Closed-ended asks for a specific piece of business, typically yes or no. So, for example, you could say something like, "Is your business down this year?" Yes, no. That's a closed-ended question. Or you can open it up and say, "Tell me about how your business is doing." Got to explain. I can't say yes or no. So, the language in the question dictates the quantity of the customer's response. So no, it's not that one is always better than the other, but it is true that salespeople err on the side of asking far too many closed-ended questions and not nearly enough open-ended questions. So that's number one. That's number one. Number two is just to ask questions as opposed to talking. The best sales calls are 75% your customer talking, 25% you talking. So how do you get the customer to talk? Duh, you ask a question. So you ought to have for every important sales call, you ought to have three or four questions prepared beforehand, word for word, so you have time to create them in an atmosphere that isn't tense, then you're not under pressure. When you have a little more time, you can think about the language and the question a little bit more. And here's just one more little piece on questions that, again, people just some salespeople, I think, understand this intuitively, but very few people can put words to it. And that's this: every question has what I call two levels of meaning. The first level is the intellectual level, which basically is what the words themselves ask for. Okay, and the second level is the emotional level, which basically is that question makes the customer feel. So here's a classic example. First call on a new customer, and you say something like, "Who makes the decision here?" Okay, that's a perfectly appropriate question intellectually, because you need to know that, and you're asking for that piece of information. But it's a horrible question emotionally, and the reason for that is, but what you're saying, the meaning the customer gets is this: "Oh, I understand you're a flunky, so tell me who's important here." So that's the emotional impact. So you change the language of the question to make it softer. So you say something like, "Who besides yourself will be involved in the decision?" See, a simple little Simple little change in the language of the question, but can make all the difference in the dynamic of the moment.
I like that. I've heard other examples, such as instead of asking, when can we do this? Or not, let me rephrase, can we do this too? When can we? Giving them an option like that. Good thoughts, Dave. So obviously, you mentioned people can go in with some prepared questions. People may be expecting those prepared questions. What are your thoughts on what can a salesperson do to adjust their way of thinking so that this is a natural component of their sales process instead of writing down four questions and going into a meeting?
Well, first of all, I recommend you do write down four questions. And the reason I recommend that is because you will then think of the questions beforehand, and you will have the luxury of time to make the questions as effective as they can be. So I'm a great believer in planning and preparing, and I believe you ought to have four questions or three, whatever. You ought to have your major questions prepared beforehand. But there are some little techniques that you can use in the moment, that will help you. One is, again, this issue of open-ended versus closed-ended. And again, salespeople have a tendency to ask too many closed-ended questions. So, something like, do you think this will work for you? No. Well, I guess I'll leave. You put yourself in that position because you force the customer to take a yes or no position. So, simple little phrase. To what degree? Just put that little phrase in front of the question. So, it's not, do you think this will work for you? It's to what degree do you think this will work for you? Now, it's not a yes or no question. And so it opens it up, gives the customer room to talk. And you haven't put yourself in a corner. Again, just a simple little thing, three words.
Yeah, I like that. I think too, Dave, maybe you could just close with the thought on this, but you go in with your questions prepared. I agree with that. You should have in mind, maybe not look at your notes, but you, if you have the same three questions, the general idea of what they are, you should be able to remember what those are. But listening to what people say and then having follow-up questions based on their conversation, on that conversation you're having, do you see that as an issue?
Oh
Maybe
yeah.
with that thought.
Yeah, both pieces of that. Listening to what they have to say and then responding to what they have to say appropriately. So we teach this process. You ask a question, you listen to the answer, you respond to the answer, and then you ask the next question. So it's not question, answer, question, it's question, answer, response, question. So what's a response? And there's several classic responses, but a simple one, everybody can do this today. Everybody can do this afternoon, and it'll improve your communication. And that is, when you ask a question, you listen very carefully to what the customer says, and you pick out one or two words. And when he's done talking, you repeat those one or two words back to him. So, like, how's your business doing this year? Blah, 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 down 10%, blah, 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 blah. And you say, down 10%. And then you ask the next question. Now, what you've done, see that little thing, that little tiny little communication intervention has caused you to listen more carefully, because now you're listening for the keywords, And when you give them back to them, that sends the message to the customer that you're listening, you're trying to understand what they're saying, and you're actively involved in the communication process. A study was done a number of years ago that said, you're not going to believe this, of 200 purchasers surveyed, 74% say they would be much more likely to buy from a salesperson if that salesperson would, quote, just listen, end quote. 74%. So when it comes to questioning, you can't rip away questions from the listening process that attends to it as well. They're part and parcel of the same thing.
Yeah. Good advice, Dave. I've heard many times a saying, people listen to respond to something. As you're talking to me, I'm thinking, well, what am I going to say in response to that? Instead, listen to people to understand what where they're going with their thoughts,
Exactly.
and then make a natural conversation out of it.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Well, thank you for this, Dave. We'll get into another important sales topic another time.
Okay. Always a pleasure.